I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 7th of September 2015. I'm Russell Hargreaves. On today's show, Francis Coquelin reflects on his meteoric rise back into the first team. We look back on one of the most memorable moments in the club's existence in this week's history lesson, and Adrian Clarke previews the Gunners' Premier League clash with Stoke City. Well, let's kick off with the Arsenal Insider. Well, Jim Van Wyk covers Arsenal for the Press Association. Jim, welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. How are you, pal?
Pleasure, sir. Everything all right? Good, yep.
Yeah, good to have you on, my friend. And obviously, transfer deadline is now passed, and this is the team, it's the squad that Arsenal have got moving forward for at least the next few months. Still strong enough to challenge, right?
Well, I mean, Arsenal certainly strengthened the squad with the addition of Peter Cech, and didn't, you know, nobody went out. There's arguments of whether more players needed to come in. The manager think he had enough. Find the right person. But after that slow start against West Ham, they've certainly picked things up again. It's very important to go into the international break for the win, wasn't it? They got that under their belts. But some of their rivals do look pretty strong as well. So I think it's going to be an interesting championship campaign. But there are a lot of people who certainly think Arsenal, when they're on their game, have got the quality to be up there challenging for the top. And we've seen how difficult Chelsea have found start to the season, so you know, if Arsenal can get a bit of momentum, then there's no reason why you know, they shouldn't sustain things this season.
I suppose, Jim, there's that age-old issue, isn't there, of fighting on so many different fronts in so many different competitions, and double game weeks coming up over the next few weeks as well. So I guess squad depth will be tested, won't it? Wareham, do you think that could be the biggest issue?
Well, I think it can be. I mean, we saw that maybe centre half was. Still a bit of an issue, didn't we, when Mertesacker and Koscielny, that preferred partnership, once that's split up, is there enough sort of strength and depth there? Midfield seems to be an area where Arsenal have a plethora of options. Jack Wilshere is not fit yet. Hopefully will be after the international break. So he comes back in. I mean, he's not even featured at all yet, has he? And obviously up front, the manager's got some thinking to do now with Danny Welbeck being out. Does he play Theo Walcott down the middle, who showed for England, you know, what he can do when he gets the right kind of service, played in the right position? And obviously, a lot now on Joel Campbell, if he's going to be able to step in with Danny Welbeck out injured. And, I guess they'll be sort of wrapping Oliver Giroud in cotton wool, won't they? Because he's so important to Arsenal. And, you know, without him, then you would think that, you know, maybe sort of the attacking options do get a bit limited.
Yeah, got a couple of tweets in from listeners to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast, actually just touching on one or two of the players and issues you've mentioned there, Jim. At Priceless AFC says, how do we fit Jack Wilshere in when he returns from injury?
Well, that's the key question, isn't it? If you look at the moment, the partnership of Coquelin and Santi Cazorla seems to be working very, very well. I think the manager has sort of settled on that he needs one kind of defensive midfielder in there, which everybody seems to be saying for so long, and Coquelin seems to be fitting that bill very well. But you can't take anything away from Santi Cazorla and the way he's playing at the moment and linking up with Sanchez and Ozil and, you know, releasing Oxlade-Chamberlain. So where does Jack Wilshere fit in? There was one time when it looked like he was sort of the first name on the team sheet, but I don't think he's in that situation anymore. But that should be good both for Jack and for Arsenal, because you've got a player of that quality, an England international, who is very, very effective when he's deployed in the right role, and it gives the manager another option. I'm someone who likes to see Jack Wilshere picking the ball up sort of 30 yards from goal and driving forward. I think that's where he's the most effective. But there is competition in that position now. But as you mentioned, lots of games coming up. You've got the European fixtures. You've got the small matter of a trip over to White Hart Lane in the Cup as well. So there's plenty of games for all these guys when they're fit to do the business. We've got Aaron Ramsey as well to throw into the equation. So midfield is certainly an area where Arsenal have an abundance of riches.
Yeah, I know what you mean about Wilshere running in from kind of deep onto goal. I saw him score that brilliant goal against West Brom from the press seats doing exactly that, which was incredible at the end of last season. Let's read you another tweet, again, similar to what we've touched on briefly earlier. At Honest Karthik has asked, guys, will Joel Campbell be considered for Premier League games? I think he's someone that could really help us, particularly given Welbeck's absence.
I think he has to be now, doesn't he? There isn't really anyone else available to Arsenal in the squad to bring in. Now, Campbell showed at the World Cup what he's capable of. He showed a few glimpses sort of last season, but we didn't really get enough to see what he can do. Whether he's got enough to lead the line on his own as well, Beck could do, it gives Giroud a rest. I'm not so sure. Maybe I think he needs, again, he probably needs a run of games. Could have probably benefited with going out on loan to another Premier League club to get used to the hustle and the bustle of the Premier League rather than going abroad where, yes, he's getting game time, but with all due respect, the league isn't anywhere near the same competitive level he's going to face week in, week out. But I think he's a good, solid player. I think he's a decent backup. But is he the 25, goal a season, which everybody says Arsenal seem to need to provide them competition for Giroud. But unfortunately, until you see him play on a regular basis, we're not really going to be able to make that judgment. But these cup ties are certainly a perfect opportunity for him to get a bit of game time, aren't they? And hopefully see what he can do. And from what the glimpses I saw in the press box when he played in the Emirates Cup, I think he's certainly got enough about him to have an impact in the Premier League if he gets the opportunity.
And Jim, you mentioned something that's key for me, I think, as well. We saw, didn't we, Theo Walcott score a couple of beautiful goals for England in their win off the bench at San Marino a few days ago. And, again, you talk about competition, combinations as well. And Theo, in an advanced, potentially central attacking role, really is, for me, a serious option as well.
But he is. I mean, when he's deployed correctly with the right service, I think he's one of the most effective forwards there. The situation for Arsenal is people maybe have sussed out how to try and restrict and nullify Walcott's threat. Because if you then play it a bit deeper and drop the space that Walcott has to run into, is his game the same? He's not the same type of player. He's not going to win an aerial duel. He's not going to win a battle with the centre-half. He's going to outrun them all day long. He's going to leave them all trailing in his wake and put himself clean on goal. And he showed against England how he can finish when he gets it right. But there is just still that grey area that if the service isn't right, or if the defence is happy to sort of sit back and not risk playing a high line, then is Walcott such an effective option? But he certainly loves to play down. I mean, look, Theo Walcott will play anywhere for Arsenal. He's always said that, and he is always given 100% whenever he's pulled on the Arsenal shirt. It's not always come off for him, but he's shown what effective player he can be if he's deployed in the right service. And when he's on fire, Oxlade-Chamberlain's on fire, and you've got Nurdle threading those balls through, and Sanchez. I mean, it's a formidable front line. Certainly, I wouldn't want to be pulling on a number 5 shirt if I could find one to fit me to try and mark him.
Well, so many little nuances and areas of debate to get our teeth into there. Jim, fantastic stuff. That's Jim Van Wyk from the Press Association joining us here on the podcast. Mate, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, what a difference a year makes. Francis Coquelin has gone from the Charlton Athletic bench to one of the first names on the Arsenal team sheet. He sat down with Arsenal Media's Josh James to reflect on the last 12 months.
September last year, you were playing under-21s against Villa. September this year, you're going to be one of the first names on the team sheet, hopefully, for the first team. So it's just, you know, what the crazy year has been like. So do you look back? I mean, everyone asks you about it all the time, about how, you know, the progression. But do you look back, or do you think, let's just keep going, looking forward?
Well, yeah, I do. I do look back sometimes. But I've been working hard, so, yeah, I'm happy that the work I put in has been rewarded at some point.
I mean, I suppose you don't get much time, because there's always the next game, isn't there, during the season, to reflect on what you've done. But I suppose you can be proud of it, can't you, when you look and your work is, as you say, you're doing work and it's paying off, you're getting results.
Yeah, well, you know, for me it's not an achievement yet. I want more, so, and yeah, hopefully I can get more, and there's plenty of more stuff to have and to win, so yeah, no, I don't just like think about what I've done. I'm thinking about the next thing.
Yeah. So what do you say to young players now? Young players who are coming through, you're the same position that you were in, you know, a few years ago, trying to break into the first team. What would be your advice to them?
Well, I think is, if you keep working out, at some point it will pay off. And yeah, I think it's, sometimes it's mentally hard, you know, we don't get the chances, but if you stay mentally strong, and I think you need as well to have the good people around you as well. I think it's really important. And yeah, make the good decision as well. Sometimes, you know, you need a bit of luck as well. And but when you got a chance, you need to grab it. But I think the most important thing is not to give up.
And we've got lots of players out on loan, which obviously you know all about, time out on loan. Do you think that's going to be a crucial part when you're growing up? How important is it to experience that?
Yeah, I think it's a good experience. You know, you get to know what it's all about in the different leagues. Because I think here's it's a lot of comfort, you know, it's Arsenal Football Club.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's a great club. You've got all the facilities. And when you go around different places like this, when you realize that it's not Arsenal everywhere, you know, you need to prove every week. And especially when you go on loan with the Arsenal label, I think it's, yeah, you need to give even more. And, yeah, I think it's a good experience for them. I've been watching the results recently of our city, so
Chuba
scored a few goals, and Isaac played as well. So I think, yeah, it's going to be a good experience for them, and they can stay out of injuries and, yeah, keep performing. I think it's great for them.
So how would you, just finally on this, how would you sum up the last year, the last 12 months in one sentence? Could you do that?
Well, I think it's going to be, it's just the word is, stands out probably is unbelievable, I'd say, you know, and yeah, it's been great. And but as I said, you know, I want more, so yeah.
Nothing achieved yet.
Yeah, nothing is, you know, every weekend can be a different team, different player playing, so you need to put the work every day and train.
Francis's development has been one of the best stories to follow over the last year, and I could really see him going from strength to strength because the role he's performing is just so key in allowing the more creative players to thrive in the Arsenal team. Well, now it's half-time on this week's podcast, and time for a history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold! Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him? Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now!
On September the 13th, 1997, Arsenal great Ian Wright scored a hat-trick against Bolton at Highbury and in the process broke Cliff Bastin's all-time goal-scoring record.
Might have chances again here. Bergkamp and Wright. It's Bergkamp. He's trying to go all by himself. It's Dennis Bergkamp and save. Pierre is in. He's in. And what a simple goal for a record. Does it matter? It's the moment everybody has come to cherish. We have a new record at Highbury. It belongs to Ian Wright. Cliff Bastin's record has stood all these years and it is eclipsed by the man who has had a golden week. Two goals for England. Two goals for Arsenal.
When I came to Arsenal, no one expected me to... No one expected me to even play on a regular basis because Alan Smith, Anders Limpar, Kevin Campbell, Paul Merson, Alan Smith... was scoring goals like 10 a penny and people were saying, well, why have they bought him? So in the end, you know, I ended up winning everything that the domestic game had to offer. So I think I justified myself coming here. And to break the record as well was a very special thing for me.
Wrighty joined the Gunners in September 1991 for a then club record £2.5 million and announced himself to the Gunners fans with a goal on his full debut in the League Cup tie against Leicester and then a hat-trick on his league debut at Southampton. He went on to win the Golden Boot in his first full season with the club by netting another hat-trick on the final day of the season. Here's his strike partner Alan Smith remembering Wrighty's early impact on the team.
George Graham would always work as a team and... when Lee Dixon gets the ball, Alan, you go there and your strike partner goes there and we were going through the shadow play and Wrighty's running all over the shop, you know, and George is tearing his hair out, but the ball comes to him and he finishes, he scores. And it didn't take George long to realise that Wrighty was uncoachable and just give him his head and let him get on with it. I mean, what Wrighty had was just that raw hunger for the game and get him in a position, left, right, foot, head. He was as brave as a lion. He was brilliant. Not easy to play with because you didn't know what he was going to do, but he was a wonderful finisher, a wonderful finisher.
Ian Wright would go on to score 185 goals in 288 appearances for Arsenal and remains the second all-time top scorer for the club behind Thierry Henry. After leaving the club in 1998, he went on to play for West Ham United, Nottingham Forest, Celtic and Burnley before then retiring in the year 2000. In 2008, he was voted fourth in the top 50 Arsenal players of all time. Now, a man who knows Ian Wright well is his former teammate Adrian Clarke, and we're talking to him next. You can see Adrian Clarke on the Matchday Show and every Monday for the breakdown on Arsenal Player. And he joins me on the line now to look ahead to Stoke City's visit to the Emirates this coming Saturday. Hey, good morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Ross. Always a pleasure.
We've just been hearing about Ian Wright's exploits in the history lesson a moment ago. You, of course, played in the same team as Wrighty, didn't you? A little story, anecdote for us, maybe?
Well, he was some player, that's for sure. And loved playing with him. But, yeah, he was... he was a wind-up merchant, that's for sure. He nicknamed me the Reverend, and it's something that I really, really disliked at the time. He thought I was a goody-goody, bit of a, I used to go back and do A-levels in my spare time. I didn't have lots of girlfriends at that point. I never used to swear. He said, "You're the Reverend," and it stuck. Everybody started calling me the Rev. It was really catchy. And then, of course, when I left Arsenal, nobody knew that nickname, so I thought it was a clean slate. And then... I bumped into Wrighty a few years after I'd left Arsenal, and the first thing he did, he ran up to me, gave me a big bear hug like he does, and said, "Rev, how are you?" So, I would always be known as the Rev in the Wright household.
I love the way he said, "I didn't have loads of girlfriends then." I like the "then." I thought that's well put in there. A little insight into the post-Rev era, maybe, for AD Clarke.
let's not go there.
Anyway, on from Wrighty and his incredible exploits and his anecdotes to Stoke City, obviously an entirely different entity now to what they've been in many respects for many years. Flair players to play alongside the Grafters, would that be fair?
Well, that's the way that Mark Hughes wants to play, I'm sure. He's got himself a whole crop of really talented attacking midfielders, and I think that they will score more goals as a result. There's definitely more creativity about Stoke City this season. It's the way that Mark Hughes is going. He wants the team to keep the ball better than they used to. And the question I'd ask is, are they too flashy? Are they too soft? Because they need to be granite-like in defence, don't they, Stoke City? They need to rough up opponents as well. I think the key for success on their part is to marry the two, really. Retain some of the traditional Stoke strength, but also use these flair guys that they've brought in.
Yeah, I think losing Stephen and Zonzi was the kind of figure that maybe has just softened up an element of their team. I know exactly what you mean. So where do you feel that Stoke could potentially hurt Arsenal then, Abe?
Well, there are probably two players that I'd look at. Mama Baram Diouf has scored in both away games so far, and you'd imagine Stoke would play on the counter at Emirates Stadium. He's quick, and I think he's pretty lively in and around the box. So he's a guy to keep your eye on. And obviously there's Shaqiri. He made an assist in the at Carrow Road, lovely in-swinging free kick. So he'll need to be watched. But yeah, Diouf is the guy on the counter-attack that I think they'll be looking to utilise.
Really good for the Premier League, isn't it? OK, not so good maybe for Arsenal, given the fact they've got to face him. But when you've got players like Bojan and Shaqiri coming in, it just makes it such an exciting league week in, week out when the fans get to see these kind of players.
Definitely, yeah. And these kind of players would never have dreamed of going to Stoke, would they, a few years ago? But they see that they play passing football now. They want to work with Mark Hughes. And they just make Stoke a better side to watch, don't they? They're going to have their moments this season. Bojan at the moment obviously isn't fully fit. That's good news for Arsenal, potentially. Hopefully he'll be on the bench, because I really like him. I think he's a terrific player. But Shaqiri, he's quick feet, he's strong, he's a very, very good passer, and he's a potential match winner. And if there's been one criticism of Stoke down the years, it's been that they've been a bit predictable. Now, I think that's a different story.
So where, therefore, can Arsenal look, do you think, Adrian, to exploit the Potters?
Well, they haven't dealt too well with crosses into the box this season. They've got two makeshift centre-backs with Cameron and Muniesa because Shawcross is out. So that's been an issue for them. And I look back at the game here last season and it was just pass and move football. It was really quick, dragging their markers all over the place, Arsenal did on that day. It was a really comfortable 3-0 win. So there are various ways we can hurt Stoke City. I would make us favourites in this game strongly.
And what do you think might be a key battleground, a key head-to-head battle area?
That's a good question. I would look up top and say that Giroud against Muniesa and Cameron, because those two guys, I think, are better at fullback. And if he starts Giroud, and Arsenal can get the ball into the box, I think he can really cause them problems.
And as it's become a bit of a customary question for you to finish off, then in a sentence, Adrian Clark, how do you beat Stoke?
It goes along with my theme, really. I think Arsenal can beat Stoke City by whipping cross after cross along the face of the goal. These makeshift centre-backs look really wobbly in that department.
Well, Dan Roebuck and Stephen Hughes will be here for the Matchday Show live from 2:30 on Saturday. That's only on Arsenal Player and the Arsenal mobile app. So be sure to join them for all of the action. And Aid for now, my friend, thank you very much. We'll catch you in a few days.
Nice one. See you next week.
That's full time on this week's show. My thanks to Francis Coquelin, Jim Van White and Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Before we go, we've had a tweet in from @LouiseFrood asking for a very special shout out to her super fan husband Dan. That's on their first wedding anniversary on Wednesday. So Dan and Louise, from everyone at Arsenal Football Club and the Arsenal Weekly podcast, we wish you a very happy anniversary indeed. We're back on Monday the 14th of September for the next Arsenal Weekly podcast, and until then, it's bye for now. Come on, you Gunners!
Thanks for listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. You can listen to a new episode every Monday by going to arsenal.com or the Arsenal SoundCloud page. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.